Shall we open our Bibles, please, to Luke chapter 19? Verse 1. Luke 19, verse 1. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. He made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. If I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. May God bless to us the reading of his word. I never feel really capable to stand on a platform here in the United States and to speak to people like yourselves. My life has been spent with simple folks away back in the bush in Africa, and I speak honestly today. But we're here to deliver a message which I believe the Lord has laid upon my heart, and we know it's His Word, and we know the Holy Spirit is going to bless it to us. This story has been told over and over again, the story of Zacchaeus, and I'm sure it is not new to you good folks here today, but I trust that something that we say will be blessed of the Lord to our hearts. I was reading a book some time ago written by a very, very well-known Bible teacher, and in that book he refers to Zacchaeus. And he said this, Zacchaeus was the last convert but one in Jesus' earthly ministry. Think of it. Zacchaeus was the last convert but one in Jesus' earthly ministry. If you read the Gospels, you will see that the Lord Jesus Christ was on his way to Jerusalem when this took place. And you know what happened to the Lord Jesus Christ, or took place there in Jerusalem. He was rejected, and he was led outside the city and nailed to the cross of Calvary. And when the Lord Jesus Christ was on the cross of Calvary, there was a thief on each side of him. And we hear one of those men say to the Lord Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And the Lord spoke to him and said, Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Now, we believe that he was the last convert in Jesus' earthly ministry. And the one before the thief on the cross was the very one we're going to speak about today, Zacchaeus. I think we should all think of that. Zacchaeus, the last convert but one in the earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we who believe the Scriptures believe firmly that the Lord Jesus Christ is building his church. That is, he has taken out from the nations a people for his name. And everyone who trusts in the Lord Jesus Christ is a member of the body of the church of Christ. And we also believe that when the last living stone is placed into that church. That is, when the last one is saved, and not everyone is going to be saved, but when the last one is saved to complete the church, then Christ will come. Now, that could be today. We don't know, but it could be. So think upon these words. You might hear the gospel for the last time, sitting here in this gospel chapel. We don't know. Zacchaeus, there's much said about him. If you read the scripture slowly, you will see that he was called chief among the publicans, and he was rich, and he was little in stature. Some of us are tall, some of us are not so tall. But we learn, as we go through life, to respect one another. When I think of these words which say he was little of stature, my mind goes back to a few missionaries that I know very, very well, who labored for a good many years in Angola. And some of them were little in stature, but I can tell you, they have a big heart, and I can tell you something else. They have a great brain, and those men have been mightily used of God. I think you know some of them. Take, for instance, our good brother, Mr. David Long, gifted man. Mr. Crawford Allison, unknown to you here, a Scot. And a few others, I could mention their names, and those are men that I have learned to love and to greatly esteem. And that as I have listened to the ministry they have given from the Word of God, I have been richly blessed. So this man, we are told, was the chief of the publicans, and he was rich, and he was little of stature. Now, I don't believe that it's wrong to be rich, but if the Lord has not got control of those riches, then they can become a man-god. Some years ago in Salisbury, in Rhodesia, some businessmen from Chicago came over to form the Businessmen's Christian Association, and among them Dr. McCulley. There was one man in the group who at that time was a contractor in Chicago, and with a few others he gave his testimony in a very large hotel room where many businessmen from Rhodesia were gathered, and also government men of the Rhodesian government. And this man filled their hearts as he gave his testimony. He told how that in his business as a contractor, God had blessed him. Or he had gained, he didn't mention God at the start, he had made lots of money. And no matter how much he made, he was never really satisfied. This was in his unconverted days. And one evening when he came home from his business, sitting in the living room with his wife, he was talking about money, about his desire to get it and to have more and more of it. And he rose from the chair and he took his pencil and he made a mark on the wall in his living room. And he said to his wife, he said, when you and I have as many dollars as will actually fill this room until this mark, then we will be satisfied. We'll have gained our goal. We'll be completely satisfied. He lived to learn that that statement was not true. Shortly after that, a friend of his, who was also a successful businessman, went out in his boat out in the lake and suddenly died from a heart attack. And when this businessman heard of his friend's sudden death, he was greatly shocked. It spoke to him. 2 weeks later, the same thing happened to another businessman, and this was too much for him. And he went to one of these Christian businessmen whom he had heard of, and he told that man, he said, I want to be saved. I want to know Jesus Christ as my Savior. And there as he stood in that hotel room and gave such a thrilling testimony, and the hearts of believers who were there were thrilled. Now he could say, money is not my God, but the man who died on Calvary's cross is my Lord and Savior. Money can never satisfy the craving of the human heart. No matter how much of it a man may acquire, that can never truly satisfy him. But we thank God We have the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, and in the gospel we see the one who fully satisfies the heart of the one who trusts in him. And this man, Zacchaeus, we are told he was rich, chief among the publicans. But one day he heard of the Lord Jesus Christ, and best of all, we read that he sought to see him. He was chief of the publicans, had a good job, no doubt, had all that he desired, but best of all, he sought to see Jesus. And as I read those few words, I wondered and asked myself, well, just what was it that created this interest in his heart to see the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, I'm not certain, but if we leaf back another chapter or two, we will learn a few things from those chapters, and I think that perhaps he had heard of the fame of the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember Matthew was also a tax gatherer, and one day as he's sitting at the customs house, the Lord Jesus Christ passes, and he looked at that man and he said, "Follow me." And Matthew, according to the word of God, arose and followed him. And not long after that, the same man invited some of his friends, and in his house with the Lord Jesus Christ, they sat, and perhaps there they heard words from the lips of the Lord himself. I think that perhaps Zacchaeus had heard of his fellow tax collector, and what had happened, how the Lord had said to him, "Rise, follow me," and he followed him. There's a parable told in the chapter of two men, and the parable was told by the Lord Jesus Christ, one a Pharisee and the other a publican, the same kind of a man as Zacchaeus. And we are told in the parable that both went up into the temple to pray. The Pharisee stood and he prayed to himself, and he said, "Lord, I thank thee that I am not as other men are. I do this and I do that. And I'm not even like this publican." But then the poor publican, it was his turn to pray, and he couldn't as much as lift up his eyes toward heaven as the Pharisee did. But he smote his breast and he said, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." And the Lord Jesus Christ points out that that man went to his house justified. Why? Because he took his true place before God. And he confessed to God, "I'm a sinner," and he sought mercy. I think that perhaps Zacchaeus had heard of that publican. In those same chapters we read of a rich young ruler. And the word of the Lord tells us that he came to Jesus and he said, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And the Lord tested the reality of his words. And he said, "Sell all that thou hast and give to the poor. Come, follow me." And we read further in another scripture that that young man was sad at those words. And he turned away. And the Lord, as he looked upon him, loved him. Yet that man turned away. One thing had bound him, and that was love for money. One thing had bound that rich young man, and we believe that it was the love for money. He did not obey the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not that by giving to the poor would have brought him salvation or eternal life. He would have got that had he obeyed the word of the Lord and followed him and believed in him. But one thing bound him, and I may be speaking to someone that's meeting today, and just one thing is keeping them from the Lord. I may be speaking to one, or perhaps two, and they have a desire to know the Lord Jesus Christ, to know that their sins are forgiven, to know and have the assurance of a home with the Lord throughout all eternity, and yet one thing is keeping them back. Now, this man, we are told he was rich, and we are told he was chief, and we are told that he sought to see the Lord Jesus Christ. And the scriptures tell us that the Lord is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And I would like you to just see for a little bit how the Lord rewarded this man, Zacchaeus. The message that the Lord gave to Zacchaeus was very, very short. Remember when he came to the tree, he looked up and he saw Zacchaeus, and his words to him were, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down." A very short message. And it thrills our hearts to see Zacchaeus receiving that short message and obeying it. And we are told that he came down and he received him joyfully. He thought to see him, who he was. Because he was so short, he knew that if he remained there amongst the crowd, it would be impossible. And he ran ahead, climbed up into that tree, and there, as the Lord approached, he could look down on him. He could see him. You know, his pew was not comfortable. Sitting up there on a branch of a tree, and yet it was from that branch that he looked down and saw the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now, when we come to verse 5, we find these words. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, "Zacchaeus, make haste, and come down, for today I must abide at thy house." What a wonderful word. "Zacchaeus, make haste, come down, for today I must abide at thy house." And as Zacchaeus looked into the eyes of the Lord Jesus Christ, he looked into eyes full of compassion, full of love. This man, Zacchaeus, was a sinner. The Lord loved him. How nice it is to come to such scriptures and to read of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, to read of the love of God for sinners, and how nice it is to be saved, sinners saved by the grace of God, and to be able to tell others, God loves you. Wonderful message. Maybe some here today don't believe that, but it's true. The Lord loves the case. The scripture tells us the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Others who saw the Lord go to Zacchaeus' house murmured and they said, "He's gone to be the guest of a sinner." Yes, that's what he was, but the Lord loved him. And what a message it is to be able to tell men and women today, God loves him. Now, we're told here that the Lord Jesus saw him. He knew him and he called him. He saw him. When we turn to Psalm 94, we find these words, "He that formed the eye, shall he not see?" Who was it that formed the eye? Who is the creator? God. And here we see God manifest in flesh, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the scripture says, "He that formed the eye, shall he not see?" We should take those words to heart. You and I should let them sink deep down into the bottom of our heart, because we are dealing with our creator. The one who created us, the one who made the eyes, and the one who sees. Proverbs, we read these words, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good." Psalm, we read again, "The Lord looketh from heaven." Three scriptures that speak with force to our hearts. "He that formed the eyes, shall he not see? The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. The Lord looketh from heaven." And we are all included in that look. His eyes are upon us, just as he looked up at Zacchaeus sitting there in the tree. Now, remember Cain. Remember he killed his brother, and he buried him, or he put him away there in the sand. The Lord came. "Cain, where is thy brother?" Cain was angry. He said, "Am I my brother's keeper?" And God said, "The blood of thy brother speaks from the sand or from the earth." Cain was speechless. His sin was revealed. Take David, the king, and how he sinned in a double way, and yet the eye of the Lord was upon him, and God saw his sin. And in that scripture, I think there is the voice of God speaking to all us, all of us. And when we come to Isaiah chapter 1, we read these words, "From the head of the foot, from the head to the sole of the foot, there is no soundness, nothing but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores." We come a little further in that book and we read these words, All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. We come over into the book of Romans and we read, by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and death has passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Lord saw Zacchaeus on the tree, and the Lord's eyes are upon us, and the scripture describes just how God sees us. It gives us a true picture of ourselves, what we are in the presence of God, or before the eyes of a holy God, if we have never trusted Christ as our Savior, and if we have not been cleansed from our sins by his precious blood. These are the words of God, and I believe that this is the message that God has for our hearts today. And he knew him. He knew him by name, said Zacchaeus. There was another man one day on his way down to Damascus. His journey was, and his intention was, to bind the Christians, to have them persecuted, to have them bound and cast into prison. And the Lord from heaven, the exalted Lord, spoke to that man and he said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? He saw him. He knew him by name. And there on that road, that man's life was completely changed. That man was born again through faith in Christ. But the Lord knew him and he called him Saul. And the Lord knows all about us. Even from the day of our birth until this present moment, every hour of our life, every day of our life, every year of our life, all that we have ever done or said, the Lord Jesus Christ knows it. And if today, by the power of God, all our actions throughout all our life, and all our speeches and all our thoughts were written on the wall before us, I believe that each one of us would hang our heads in shame. I believe that each one of us would desire to rise quickly and go out through those doors as fast as possible. We would be ashamed that God revealed before us our sin and our ways from the day of our birth. There's a day coming when that is going to be done. If we read in Revelation chapter 20, we read there of a judgment that is yet to come. The judgment of the great white throne, heaven and earth shall pass away. The dead, small and great, are raised. And they stand before that throne, and the books are opened. And everyone is judged according to his works. Another book is opened, which is called the Book of Life. And if the name is not written there, we are told that they're cast into the lake of fire. Time is running out. God is speaking to us through his word. And we should be like Zacchaeus. We should give attention to that word and obey the message that God gives us from his holy word. And there, we are told that he knew him. He called him by name. And today, you and I don't have to climb a tree to see the Lord Jesus Christ. He is not here. He is in the glory. Been there for a long time, but we can see him. And God, by his Spirit, through his word, brings us to another tree. You remember what the scripture says, and when they'd come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him. And you and I, by the eye of faith, can see Calvary's cross. And upon that cross, the blessed Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, nails in his hands and in his feet. Why is he there? The scripture tells us he's there because of our sin. Listen to Paul again. Christ died for our sin according to the scriptures. And you and I, as we read the gospel, and as we hear a gospel message, and as we are pointed to the cross of Calvary, we see there the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, upon that cross with nails in his hands and in his feet. He came into the world to save sinners. He could only save them by giving his life upon the cross. Once in the end of the age hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself, and it was upon the cross that he did it. And there, when Jesus Christ was on the cross, God charged him with our iniquities. God laid upon him our iniquities. Our sins were all laid in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he died for our sins. He gave his life, he gave his blood, and the word of God says, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin. He suffered upon the cross of Calvary. My sin and my shame, my despair, Jesus took them there, and Calvary covers it all. That's what the hymn writer says. Wonderful words. You and I who believe in Christ as our Savior can gaze back to that cross and we can say, Calvary covers it all. My sins are gone. That's the gospel. And the Apostle Paul said, the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. John, that disciple whom Jesus loved, could say, he loved us and loosed us from our sins by his blood. And it was the death of Christ and the shedding of his blood that brought salvation into this world. And then we are told that he called him. He said, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. And the scripture says that he came down and received him joyfully. He received him joyfully. How do we become Christians? How do we become the children of God? Listen to the word of God. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. We receive Christ as our Savior, and immediately we are made sons of God. That's how we are made Christian. Through believing in the Lord Jesus Christ and the death upon Calvary's cross, we are saved by the grace of God. And our future depends on our choice. Zacchaeus made a wonderful choice. He obeyed, he came down. He received the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord said, today is salvation come to this house. And our future depends on our choice. If I choose Christ as my Savior, that means eternal life for me. That means salvation for me. That means the forgiveness of sin. That means to dwell with the Savior throughout all eternity. If I refuse him, if I go on in my sinful way, then I die in my sin. And the scripture says, I'll be separated from God for all eternity. For nothing that defileth shall ever enter in to the presence of a holy God. And the Lord called him, and this man obeyed. And today he's called. Listen to his voice. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come unto me, all ye that weary and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Back in Revelation chapter 3, it states clearly, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him, and he with me. And those scriptures clearly tell us that the man who died in Calvary's cross, the man who bore in his body our sin, lives with an endless life, able to save. And he called, come unto me. He said to Zacchaeus, today salvation has come to thy house, and today the Lord Jesus Christ calls. Come unto me, and I will give you rest. How are we to come? There's a hymn which says, just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. How do I come? Do I wait until I'm a little better, thinking that perhaps I might do a few things that might please God? Not at all. The scripture says, the Lord says, come, and I will give you rest. Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Just as I am with my sin. Without one plea, I have nothing to plead. I'm guilty, I'm a sinner, I need a Savior. And if we come that way, this Savior, who died for us upon Calvary's cross, receives us. As thou shalt confess with thy mouth, Jesus is Lord, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And it's today the Lord calls. And if you receive him, as Zacchaeus did, by faith, trusting that he died for you upon Calvary's cross, then through His Word, you get the assurance of salvation, of eternal life, that your sins are gone. May God bless to us the reading of the Scriptures. Shall we pray? God our Father, we bow in Thy presence. And at the close of this short time together, we would lift our hearts in thanksgiving to Thee for Thy love to us. We thank Thee, O God, that Thou dost love us and send Thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and that He died upon the cross of Calvary for our sins. He died for us. And now, because He died for us and lives again, there is salvation and the forgiveness of sins for us in Him, if we receive Him. And our Father, many of us have received Him, and we thank Thee. We pray that wherever Thy word is spoken today, that the people who hear it might give heed, and many might trust in Him as Savior, and know that in Him they have eternal life, and go on their way rejoicing in Him. We thank Thee for the word of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Bless Thy word too, as we pray, in His worthy name. Amen. The time is gone, so we will not sing.